Well, as Brad noted this morning, Psalm 110 was a favorite of Jesus's and his disciples. In fact, they referred to it so often that it's the psalm most quoted in the New Testament. And the verse they love to quote the most is the verse that you'll find in your bulletin tonight, Psalm 110, verse 1. We heard Peter quote it this morning in a sermon from Acts 2, and we'll hear him come back to it again when he stands before the high priest in Acts chapter 5. So why is this psalm, why is Psalm 110 and verse 1 in particular so important? Well, the answer, as we saw this morning, is because of the one that the psalm points us to. For it reflects on the rule of Israel's long-awaited Messiah, the offspring of David sitting in power on the throne God established back in 2 Samuel 7. See, Psalm 110 matters, not merely for what it anticipates for God's people, but because of who it announces the arrival of, a son who will triumph over God's enemies, crushing them under his feet, just as God had promised back in Genesis 3:15. It's entirely about Jesus Christ. Each verse like a signpost pointing us in the direction of his bloody cross, his empty tomb, his vanquished enemies, and the chair he now occupies at the right hand of the Father. Hear how David points us to Jesus in verse 1. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, while there are literally countless things we could say about such a loaded verse, I essentially want to echo what we already heard Peter tell us this morning, and that is this: King Jesus reigns. Amen. King Jesus reigns. That's it. That's all we need to know tonight. King Jesus reigns. Whether we're celebrating a pregnancy and a brand new baby, or we're mourning the loss of our home, King Jesus reigns. He's on his throne, reigning right now at the right hand of the Father. So our first and only point tonight, King Jesus reigns. It's clear that the author of Psalm 110 is David, the one God himself had anointed as the earthly king over God's people. And here David's recounting a direct message from God himself to the Messiah. Though David is Israel's king, he's not the king that God is talking to or about. That's what the words "my Lord" indicate. David recognizes that the one God is speaking to is greater than him in every way, that he's truer and better in every single way, and that the chair at God's right hand has his name on it. In the ancient world, to sit at a person's right hand was to occupy a place of honor and signaled a share in authority and rule. It announced loud and clear for all to hear that the one at the right hand was not like any other. As we saw this morning, this is exactly what God was announcing when he raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him at his right hand. Only Jesus could occupy that chair. He isn't merely one among many, as we thought about this morning. Not even David could sit there. The throne belonged exclusively to Jesus, because Jesus alone was the one who humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death on a cross. Notice too in our verse what God tells Jesus to do at his right hand. He doesn't tell him to stand. He tells him to sit. Now why would it matter that Jesus needs to sit? Well, the Levitical high priest stood constantly in service, repeatedly offering the same sacrifices over and over that could never take away the sins of the people. But the author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus isn't like Israel's other high priests. He's better. For Jesus is a priest forever, as David's going to point us to in verse 4. The priest who, after offering for all time a single sacrifice for sins, his own body on the cross, sat down at the right hand of the Father, because his work was done, finished, complete. By his one sacrifice, he perfected for all time all who would turn from their sin and put their trust in him and his work. And notice too what Jesus is to do as he's sitting there reigning from his throne. He's to wait. He's to wait until the day God makes an ottoman out of his enemies. He's to wait for the day when he can finally kick up his feet and all those who've opposed the Lord's anointed have finally been crushed and vanquished. Though Jesus is already the exalted Christ reigning now from heaven, he is still waiting for that last surrender. Not because his work was insufficient, but because his enemies had not yet been finally and forever routed. The final destruction of those who opposed his reign was still to come. That final death blow was yet to be laid, but it would be laid. In all of this, we see very simply and very clearly what Peter told us back in Acts 2. King Jesus reigns. King Jesus is on his throne. He is at the right hand of the Father, ruling over all as the Lord. His priestly work on behalf of his people finished, and he's waiting for the day when he holds out his royal scepter, death and sin crushed into oblivion at his feet, and he can finally declare, "All things are mine without exception." And this matters for us, doesn't it? This matters for us who are in Christ, because the King at God's right hand is our King. He's our King. The same King that God invites to share in his authority and his rule at his right hand is the same King at the right hand of God interceding for those hoping in him. In Christ, God is for us. God is for us, and now nothing can be against us. Nothing can be against us. Not life or death, not angels or rulers, not things present or things to come, not powers, not height or depth, not anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love God has shown us in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all these things, Romans tells us we are more than conquerors if we place all of our hope in the one who died and was raised and is now at the right hand of God interceding for us. And nothing can ever throw him off this throne. Nothing can ever throw him off his throne. This is like God's version of that old kids game, King of the Hill. All right, others may try to dethrone him, but they will do so in vain. The seat is exclusively Christ's, and he's already there. He's already seated, reigning on high. His work to atone for your sin against God is already done, which means your work is done too. You've got nothing left to do but to keep trusting in him, to keep waiting on him, to keep resting in his work and not your own, to keep submitting yourself to his rule. For King Jesus, there's no unfinished business. There's only mission accomplished. So Christian, feel the freedom tonight to kick up your feet and rest in the work he's already done for you. Such finished work, brothers and sisters, it ought to fuel our endurance and our assurance as Christians. If nothing can stop him from reigning on high, then absolutely nothing can stop you from resting finally in him. So long as Jesus is the object of your faith, God is for you. God is for you. Who can be against us? What accusation can stick against the one that God justifies? What can condemn us? Satan? Sin? Culture? Your anxieties are past? If you're in Christ, these things have nothing on you. In the end, King Jesus will be using them like they're a footrest on a lazy Sunday afternoon. This is why God's word ought to be so central in our lives as Christians and as a church. Because all of it, just like Psalm 110, verse 1, points us to the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Page after page, God's word reminds us that God's man is on the throne. When is the last time you opened this book with someone in this church and just encouraged them with the wonderful reality that Jesus Christ reigns? When is the last time you made time to sit with a brother or a sister over lunch or coffee or in the mess of your home just to consider the end of everything that's ever stood between you and Jesus? Friends, this is the glory we get to encounter when we open God's word together. This is the kind of joy discipling one another invites us into. When we open the word with others, we get to come face to face with Jesus Christ, the one who conquered the grave and is now exalted on high at the right hand of the Father. I can think of no better way for us to spend our time together. Discipling isn't rocket science. It's simply the joy of using the Bible to help others see more of Jesus on his throne. Why would we forsake that opportunity with one another? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want you to know how glad I am that you're here. There's not a better place that you could be tonight. But you need to see something in this verse. You need to see the end of those who oppose the one at God's right hand. Because as much good news as there is in this verse for those of us who are trusting in Christ, there's just as much bad news for those who reject him and his rule. You see, we don't get to be neutral with Jesus on the throne. If King Jesus reigns over all, that means he reigns over you. Either we submit to him in faith and repentance, or we will submit to him in judgment as a vanquished foe. But here's the good news for you tonight. God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, suffering in our place on the cross. And now through repentance of our rebellion against him and faith in his finished work on the cross, we will be saved from God's judgment. If we turn from our sin and submit to Jesus' reign and faith, then we are saved. And God raises us up with him and gives us a seat with Christ in the heavens. So friend, don't reject his rule tonight. Submit to King Jesus today. Bend your knee in faith now and find yourself seated with the King before you're forced to bend your knee before him in judgment as a footstool for his feet. Friends, King Jesus reigns. When our house burns to the ground, King Jesus reigns. When we're celebrating the birth of a brand new baby, King Jesus reigns. He is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father. We who were once enemies to God and who were once far off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. By grace we have been saved. And by grace, God has raised us up with Jesus and given us a seat around the table of our King, the one who defeated death and who is now reigning at the right hand of the Father, waiting until the day God makes his enemies a footstool for his feet. King Jesus reigns. Let's pray.